Do you have questions about the Bible, cults, the occult, world religions, or other related topics? Have you ever been stumped by something that appears to be a contradiction in the Bible? Then you've tuned to the right place. Coming up in just a few minutes, you can hear your questions answered on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Institute exists to provide Christians worldwide with carefully researched information and well-reasoned answers that encourage them in their faith and equip them to intelligently represent it to people influenced by ideas and teachings that assault or undermine Orthodox biblical Christianity. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We do what we do because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, thank you very much, Randy, and we are working our way through Matthew chapter 6, focusing in particular on almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. In the last broadcast, I was going over my FACTS acronym. It is one of the ways in which I organize my personal prayer time. The F reminds us of faith. Faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. If it's faith in our own faith, it's misplaced. If it is faith in our God, it is well placed. Then we talked about the importance of adoration, how we ought to, in prayer, express our adoration and worship and praise. Extol the one who saved us by his grace, who has every hair on our head numbered. And in the last broadcast, I was talking about confession. And I was using King David as an example. The sins of David, though egregious, have as yet become a template for confession. In Psalm 51, he begs for the Lord's mercy. He professes his sins. He prays for cleansing. He petitions for a pure heart. And then he pleads for a willing spirit to sustain him. If ever there was a passage of Scripture to commit to memory, this is it. Perhaps even now you can pause for a moment. Well, maybe not right now, but soon, after you've finished listening to this broadcast, and then read that prayer aloud. And then imagine every verse followed by what is popularly referred to as the Jesus Prayer. The Jesus Prayer is simply, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Jesus Prayer is variously derived from such biblical pleas as that of the Gentile woman who so identified with the sufferings of her daughter that she cried out, have mercy on me, O Lord. The 10 lepers who lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And of course, the blind man who implored, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. While I will have much more to say concerning the power and relevance of the Jesus Prayer later on, for now, it is sufficient to echo the words of Frederico Matthews Green, who has rightly proclaimed this prayer a spiritual discipline akin to the repetitive practice of musical scales. For a cellist to become accomplished, they have to get involved in the tedium of practicing scales, and that must be a tedium that seems so far from the distant goal, the final goal of becoming accomplished, when that beautiful dark music spills forth with fluidity. And yet one day that cellist will pick up her bow, and she and the instrument will have become one. Did you catch that? One. Union with God, unction, unbounded reservoirs absorbed as with a sponge, participation in the divine nature, prayer no longer a burden or a duty, but a pleasure beyond compare, the cellist and the Creator become one. If you have never done so before, perhaps this very moment, you can experience the first step in a lifelong journey toward oneness with Christ. For when you confess your sins as David did, God will purge your iniquities and infuse grace into your inner being. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And as you continue in this way through the entirety of the 51st Psalm, you may well discover that intolerance for prayer may soon be changed into intoxication. If you will but confess in humility with godly sorrow, not hiding your sin, but purposing to amend your life, God will forgive and restore. If you have sinned 1,000 times, you have not yet come close to exhausting His grace. Like the prodigal son, just confess, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the Father will as yet cry out, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. Why? Why? Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. All is now thanksgiving. as you take stock of your life, confess your sins, and again partake of the Lord's table, you may thank God for the grace that allows you to once again participate in the life of an overcomer. Thanks be to God. Well, that's my way of introducing another part of this FACTS acronym: faith, adoration, the C, confession, and the T, thanksgiving. So faith is the entryway to prayer. Adoration unshackles us from preoccupation with self. Confession is the key to forgiveness, and thanksgiving is the gateway to righteousness. Open for me the gates of the righteous, and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give thanks to you, O God, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. It's been well said that prayer without thanksgiving is sort of like a bird without wings. Scripture exhorts us, implores us to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Failure to do that is the stuff of pagan babblings and carnal Christianity. Pagans, said St. Paul, know about God, but they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. Carnal Christians, likewise, fail to thank God daily for his many blessings. They suffer from what might best be described as selective memories. They are prone to forget the blessings of yesterday as they thanklessly barrage the throne of grace with brand new requests every single day. Oh, may we not follow in their path. May you and I instead be one of the 10. I want to tell that story when we come back from the break. It's a powerful story of thanksgiving and why it is so critically important to make thanksgiving a part of our daily prayer routine, our daily prayer practice. Faith, adoration, confession, thanksgiving. We'll also talk about bringing your request to the Lord as well. When we come back from the break, we'll be back in just a few, so please don't touch that dial.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, talking about how Thanksgiving is so transcendently important as part of your prayer life. I mentioned that prayer without Thanksgiving is sort of like a bird without wings, and that carnal Christians so often fail to thank God for his many blessings. They suffer from selective memories. They forget the blessings of yesterday. We don't want to be like them. Instead, we want to be like the 10. Remember the 10? As Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, he encountered 10 men suffering from leprosy. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Well, Jesus, having great compassion for their condition, healed every last one of them. And yet only one of the 10, upon recognizing his healing, threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. Immediately, Jesus asked, "Were there not 10 that were cleansed? Where are the other 9? And that might well be the question of the ages. Every day we experience the grace of God, yet how many of us daily throw ourselves at the feet of our Lord and thank him? I'm personally tremendously convicted even as I utter these words. How many times has God answered my prayers directly, specifically, yet how few times have I thanked him? Each new day, we ought to approach our Heavenly Father overflowing with thankfulness as we devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And that kind of thankfulness is an action that flows from the certain knowledge that our Heavenly Father knows precisely what we need and will supply it. Thus says St. Paul, we are to rejoice, always pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, as with faith and adoration and confession, I found the Psalms to be a rich reservoir for my daily prayer of thanksgiving. While many psalms are tremendous templates for thanksgiving, Psalm 118 provides a particularly powerful treasury for giving thanks. Again, I often combine the Jesus Prayer with my prayer of thanksgiving, and as I do, I sense the connection of power cord and socket. As such, I experience all His energy, which so powerfully energizes me. The last letter in the FACTS acronym stands for supplication. It is proper and right that our supplications tend toward the end rather than the beginning of our prayers, just as the S follows the F-A-C-T. For it is only in the context of a relationship with God that our requests make any sense whatsoever. Imagine asking a complete stranger to pay for your dinner. Or imagine asking a friend to help despite an obviously neglected relationship. Supplication only makes sense in the context of connection. It is akin to a child turning to her father with full confidence in his loving kindness. St. Paul put it so beautifully, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." No anxiety, only peace. The purpose of supplication is not to pressure God into providing us with provisions and pleasures. It is to conform us to His purposes. As we read in 1 John chapter 5, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. Note carefully that I'm emphasizing the words according to His will. It's quite popular in contemporary Christian circles to disdain that phrase. One Christian superstar going so far as to say, "Never, ever, ever say, 'If it be your will.'" Don't allow such faith-destroying words to be spoken from your mouth. When you pray, "If it be your will," faith will be destroyed, doubt will billow up, and flood your being. Be on guard against words like this, which will rob you of your faith, which will drag you down in despair. Those kinds of teachings are spoken in the context of an ideology in which faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and by your words, you are said to be able to create your own reality. That, however, is far from true. I say that because faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. If faith is in faith, it is mere credulity. If, on the other hand, faith is placed in the providence of the supreme sovereign of the universe, it is more than certain. And what is perhaps the greatest literary masterpiece of all time, the majestic Sermon on the Mount, which we are now going through, Jesus taught His disciples, and vicariously you and I, to pray, "Thy will be done. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And James, St. James likewise warned those who are prone to boast and brag that they ought to instead pray, "If it be the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." The Apostle Paul earnestly prayed that by God's will he might have the opportunity to visit the believers in Rome. Indeed, he encouraged the faithful in Rome to pray that by God's will he might join them in their city. As you and I pray, we must ever be mindful that the sovereignty of God is an overarching principle of Scripture. We may genuinely be thankful that this world is under His control and not ours. We'd be in deep trouble if God gave us everything we asked for, because the truth is that we often don't know what is best for us. I'll never forget Billy Graham's wife. She drove this point home emphatically when she said, "If God had answered every prayer of mine, I would have married the wrong man 7 times over. One of the most comforting thoughts that you can have as a human person yielded to the will of God is that He who has created us also knows what is best for us. If we walk according to His will rather than trying to command God according to our own wills, we'll enjoy not a counterfeit, but something real. Not a counterfeit panacea, but what He promised, peace in the midst of the storm. When you pray earnestly as Christ did, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done," we can rest assured that even in sickness and tragedy, all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. So each new morning, as I lay my request before my God, I'm reminded that He is indeed my Father, and that as my Father, He cares deeply about every detail of my life. On the next broadcast, I want to talk about what's called the Jesus Prayer. I've often called the Lord's Prayer the Prayer of Jesus, but this is something different. And this is a prayer that has transformed my life in many ways. So again, on the next broadcast, I'm going to talk about the Jesus Prayer. When we get finished talking about the Jesus Prayer, we're going to talk about fasting. Remember, this is a triple braided cord that our Lord presents to us in the Sermon on the Mount. Almsgiving or mercy giving, prayer, and fasting. Thanks for tuning into this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I do look forward with great anticipation to the next time we're together.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences, as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI. and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.